This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Get your motor
running. Fender Bender on Joy 94.9, revving up the weekends with news and views on all things motoring.
Yes, welcome one and all to Fender Bender for another week. My name is Tim Nicholson and I'm extremely happy to have your company on this drizzly Melbourne Saturday. Big thanks to Joe and Mark for the escape pod. They will be back next week for more travel advice and fun times. This show is Fender Bender. It's all about motoring and we'd love to hear from you if you want to ask us any questions or just want to, you know, speak to us. We'd love to hear from you. And I'm joined in the studio, of course, by some regular wonderful human beings, Mike Costello and Dan Gardner. Boys, welcome.
Hello.
How are we?
I'm freezing my nipples off, but I never needed them anyway.
Well, sometimes so right. They're useful.
Mm-hmm. Well, now there's an image I'm not going to be able to get out of my head.
Oh, we've all got them, Dan. Okay.
Yeah, it's interesting that he highlights that we don't really need them. I don't know. I think I have some novel uses for nips.
Some of us have three.
Oh, listen to it. And here we are talking, of course, to wonderful guest star Byron Matthew-Darkus.
The irregular Byron Matthew-Darkus. Hello,
yes.
Everyone.
Yes, how are you?
Thank you for having me back on Fender Bender.
It's been a while.
It's been too long.
It has been too long. Yes. We were off air for 3 months, so that's right. Understandable.
Yeah, but people were telling me in the street, when's Fender Bender coming back on? Yeah.
Were they just yelling at you in the street?
Indeed, yeah. They could say, I won't listen then.
Oh,
no, that's not true.
It's not true.
I hope people have found us on this new time slot as well.
Well, I think so. I think, you know, people are listening in. Let us know if you are listening in.
Let us know if you're not listening in.
That's true. But we do want to hear from you. 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. If you've got any questions, you want advice on buying a car or just to say hello or find out which one of us is the most attractive, it's me.
It's so true.
But this is Fender Bender. We've got lots to get through, guys. We've got a big show. Dan's going to take us for a bit of a quick lap later, aren't you?
I am. And I might even go a in a dance? Car as well.
Listen to it. Yeah. So you got behind the wheel. Well, you got behind the wheel and behind the... Or in the passenger seat of a very exciting car.
I did. I both drove and was a passenger, and I can say the more exciting part of the day was being driven in this particular car. So, yeah, that'll come up a little bit later. I'll explain more about that.
Oh, God. Tell us more about being driven, guys. Now, Byron, of course, you have driven the upcoming Mazda 3.
Jumped into the future. I went into a time machine, went to the 2014 Mazda 3.
Which we're going to hear all about later
the
on.
The BM Series Mazda 3. We are going to hear about that later.
Very excited.
So I've returned back from the future and I can tell you all about it. And just like Back to the Future, I drove it in LA. So
awesome.
Yes.
And I flux capacitor.
That's right. I got my flux capacitor happening and I stepped on my favorite walk of Hollywood walk, star, which of course is the great Barbara Stanwyck, whose birthday it was this week. Happy birthday, Babs. You would have been, I should have been 90 something. No, 107, I think. So, yeah. And the awfully handsome William Holden. I stepped on his star.
Very
as well.
Underrated classic star, William Holden.
Really?
He doesn't get the appreciation
here. Oh, he gets appreciation in my part of the world.
I do like his surname. I was in LA recently and I stood on Sharon Stone. And that was honestly one of the most exciting moments
of my life. Her career has gone
downhill
lately. So is that how she's making his mate?
She is coming up in a new movie called Lovelace.
Oh, really?
Yep, and I am going to see it.
Is that the biopic of the what else would adult be? Actress?
The sexy one.
Well, who knows?
Yeah. It's true. But look, you know, get on the IMDb if you want to watch that trailer. But
want to look up William Holden.
Exactly.
In Sunset Boulevard.
That's very handsome, by the way. Yeah. But we are here to talk about cars, so we might as well do that, guys. Now, a few things have been happening this week in the world of motoring. Why don't we just go straight to motorsport? Now, Mount Panorama, we all know it. Bathurst, do we know Godzilla? Guys.
Oh, well, it's a famous thing. It got the Nissan GTR got booed off Bathurst when it won it two times in a row in the early 90s, famously prompting, was it Mark Scaife?
Was it Jim Richards?
Jim Richards to call a crowd a pack of something.
Arseholes.
I think we can say that. Okay, cool. Yeah, it was a very controversial car. It was this Japanese imposter coming in and beating the locals at their own game. It wasn't very popular. And I think 20 years on, it's going to return to the mountain, although not in the guise that we know it.
No. Or in the girls that we know it.
No. Excellent.
Deary me.
Godzilla.
No, it's the current GTR. The GTR Nismo, is that
it
right?
It is, it is. So it's not going to compete in the actual regular Bathurst 1000. As we know, Nissan is competing in that now alongside Mercedes and soon Volvo. This is a Bathurst 12-hour, which is like half a Le Mans. It's increasingly famous overseas.
Le Boy.
It just keeps going. How many there's so many euphemisms in car racing, isn't
there? There are, indeed.
And anyway, it's come over from Japan and Nismo Special, and it's going to be driven in the Bathurst 12-hour. And I guess the interesting thing is, after all these years, will Godzilla get booed off the track again?
No.
I think we've moved on since then.
You know, you would hope so.
You know, an Aussie coined that phrase, Godzilla.
Really?
In fact, it was one of it was a Wheels magazine cover that first dubbed it Godzilla.
Really?
Yep. Well, there we go. It's more appropriate than anyone imagined.
Yeah, in late 80s when the, I think it was the R32, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the R32.
Wowzers.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, it'll be exciting to have it back, and it looks pretty amazing, so I'm looking forward to that. If anyone else is, that is fantastic as well. Now, some other news, guys. This week, earlier this week, Datsun. That's right. Datsun unveiled their, well, it's a Nissan parent company. The Go, is that what it's called? This is the you know, designed specifically for emerging markets.
Famously, Datsun was originally called Dat Go before it became Datsun.
Get out.
So it's harking to the past.
Well, actually, that's half right.
That's
half right. Here we go.
It was always called Datsun, but there was the first model was the Go.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it was actually...
Oh, I stand corrected.
Yeah, but... But yeah, I mean, close enough. It was back in the 1920s or 30s when they were building, you know, basically rehashed English cars, even back then. But yeah, you're right.
I'd like to just argue that a second, Byron.
Yes, please.
But I'm not going to, because you're always right.
No.
I'd like to argue it, but you know, whenever you come up with a little morsel like that, there's no point arguing. We always know it's gossip.
Well, I see. I'm old enough to remember when you could buy a new Datsun.
Is that what it is?
Can you guys were? It was before your time, really, wasn't it? Yeah,
it might have been around my time.
Heavily over
there. Yeah, yeah. I remember the jingles. And in fact, if anyone rings in and sings a jingle, we'll give them a piece of tat.
Isn't that a children's TV show?
We will give them
a clap. That's right.
Yeah.
We'll give them the clap.
You will earn our respect. We have nothing to give away today, but we will give you a big clap.
We can go and steal the Datsun.
That's true.
As a present, maybe.
My nan had a...
Well, I've got a Nissan cap that I can give them if people ring up.
Yeah, if you want to.
Or my tat box of car stuff that you... That we occasionally receive.
That's true. But look, so this car is we're not going to see it here, obviously.
No,
it's a pretty dull looking thing.
It's for third world markets who are starting to buy cars, India and Brazil and some of those markets that want a cheap and cheerful car. It's sort of like what the Western world was like with its car market, you know, 70, 80 years ago. Cheap and cheerful cars that anybody could afford.
And Mike, it's based on the Micro, I believe.
Yes, I believe it's the previous gen Micro.
Yeah, the K12.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So we know the Micro. They've
decent car.
It's quite clever. They've got no use for these underpinnings anymore. So they think, well, we'll put a cheap and cheerful Datsun on top of it and sell it and make it in India and Brazil. And
which means it's based on a Renault Clio, which means it's also based on a Dacia. And Dacia is part of the Renault group that also produces a Datsun. So there's a...
Yeah,
it's a polluted circle of.
So what we're saying is, it's effectively the same car as every other car you can buy out there, without exception.
Yeah,
it's kind of related.
If you go back to 1989,
but do we want Datsun back in Australia?
Well, I don't think what they're going to do with this brand, obviously, as you said, is kind of focus on those markets. So those cars are going to be less safe. They're going to have no spec, and they're going to be super cheap, and it just wouldn't work in this country.
What if though they brought back the 240Z? I would be very interested.
Well, this
was
my problem with it. Is it, you know, when they said the Datsun name is coming back, I got really excited. I thought they were going to do it in style with something which people are a little bit romantic about, as you say, exactly.
240Z is my absolute favourite.
What a wonderful car. They could have brought back the Datsun brand with that, something, you know, a retro version of it. It could have been fantastic. They could have done such great...
Well, maybe they can in the future.
Well,
both of you guys have just given the product planners in Japan an idea.
Well, they are listening. They do. Everyone tunes in.
We have a hotline through to Carlos Ghosn, who is the head of Nissan, for those who don't know.
That's true. I've always wanted a hotline to Carlos Ghosn.
Oh, dear.
No, I have not at all.
You do like powerful men, Tim.
I do. Mr. Boris from Celebrity Apprentice. But we won't go there, guys. We won't go there. Now, some other news that's just come up this morning that I saw. The new Honda Jazz is out, guys.
What an eyesore.
Well.
It is such a disappointment.
It looks like a car.
It's better than the last one.
The funny thing is...
I love the last one. Honda. Sorry, Daniel. I love the last one.
Really?
Jazz.
So why can't you like this, then?
Because I think it's too fussy and it's not a box anymore. It looks... man, what is with that grill treatment?
It's really, really sad, actually, because Honda has gone right downhill lately, as we know, with the exception of a few cars, the Jazz being one of them. It's an underrated car. You can fold the seats flat. It turns into a minivan. And for a light car, it's brilliant. Yeah. The new one may well be as practical, and it looks a lot more high-tech, and the cabin is actually pretty nice, a big step up. But I agree with Byron. They've kind of killed that simplistic... You know, everybody kind of design, and they've gone over the top. It's a bit fussy. It's there's too much going on.
No, you're all wrong.
I'm with you, Dan.
Yeah, why? Oh, I hadn't noticed.
Ooh, division. That division might have been.
No, I think it is in accordance. It ties in with the styling of the Civic, and I love the look of the Civic, and I think that looks great.
Well, you know, overseas, they don't call it the Jazz. They call it the Fit.
Yeah.
Do you reckon they should call it the Fit here or the Jazz?
Do you know what? To encourage heterosexual male buyers, I would change the name to Fit. Don't you think? A Jazz?
Well, you know, it's funny because there are names we've talked about before that...
someone had to say it.
We've talked about names for cars that are a bit ambitious, like the Skoda Superb. Right? Yeah. Well, in Britain, fit is a term for someone being outrageously attractive.
Hot, I know.
So if you're in Britain,
well,
saying, like, my cars are fit. Well, it better look all right. And
exactly.
This one, I'm sorry, it just
really?
It's not
bit
fit.
Anti. Bit anti. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll have to agree to disagree. One more thing, and I'm going to... Dan, I don't want you to start crying, but there have been reports coming out this morning that... Alfa Romeo are going to drop the Mito and the Giulietta and the Giulietta hatch for to make rear-wheel drive and all-wheel drive sedans. How do you feel about that, Dan Gardner?
I have nothing to say about that.
I don't believe it, actually.
There is a small tear running down.
Who's saying that?
That is a report coming out of some publications, international publications.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you see, online publications.
It would make sense because, of course, Fiat own Alfa and companies these days are trying to be as simple and universal as they possibly can. Mm. You know, Volkswagen, Ford, everything's based off, you know, a few platforms. Everything's kept nice and simple. And it would make sense because it's expensive to make a lot of different models. And ultimately, if this allows for Alfa to start making sexy, cool rear drive sports cars again, bring it on. Because I would take a sports car over a Giulietta any day of the week.
Ooh. So hang on. So that's this is news to me. This is news to me. So the intention is so that they can focus more on rear wheel drive
and all-wheel drive sedans. Well, this is the report. It hasn't been confirmed by Alfa Romeo or the Chrysler Group.
If that is the case, and you're right to say that it's always the news of Alfa Romeo discontinuing a model is always tinged with sadness. I'm totally in agreement with Mike on this.
That's no fun.
Oh, don't worry.
I'll
disagree with you. Jesus Christ.
but you don't really have to call him that. Call him Mike.
Sorry. Yeah.
No, I think that's great news. If they want to do
terrible news. Sorry. If you don't want this to happen, go down to Alfa Romeo dealer and check out the Giulietta. I think it's an underrated car. Yep. I know there aren't many people that agree with me. A lot of my colleagues don't agree with me, but man, I think it's an awesome car.
I don't mind the Giulietta.
It's an excellent car.
The diesel sucks. The petrol's quite good.
Yes.
The
a manual gearbox with a diesel, it would be outstanding. Mm. But no, as you say, it's a terrible gearbox for the automatic. But if this means that they're going to take a great engine, which the Giulietta's got, and, I don't know, turn it around, put it in the back of a two-seater carbon fibre sports car that happens to be rear-wheel drive, which is what they're doing, then great. Please carry on doing
it. Or can they do both?
True. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. We are super happy to have your company today. We've got a text in from Colin from Heidelberg who says, bring back the Datsun Bluebird.
Yeah.
The Datsun Bluebird, sorry, TRX.
Oh, she's getting ready for TRX. Remember that ad from 1983?
No.
It was a suggestive ad. She's getting
from 1983,
ready.
Did you say? How is anyone in this room going to remember that?
She's
I was born in 1987.
Yeah, but you probably can't remember TV ads from when you were
well, folks.
One.
I was born in 67, so I remember it. Oh.
And he doesn't look a day over being born in 1983.
Oh, that's why we love you.
I want to know what Byron's secret to eternal youth is.
Botox. I'm just kidding. it's not true. Now, guys, some other sad news this week. I don't know if you heard, Detroit's gone bankrupt.
Ba-bow.
I thought they were already.
Well, they were on the way there.
How many RoboCop jokes have you heard thus far?
None.
The whole theme of no.
Could you repeat it?
Well, you know, the 80s classic RoboCop. Yeah. Detroit's a broken, bankrupt city, and a cyborg police officer rises. And
that's what they need then. That's how they're going to sort their problems out.
Oh, it's like RoboCop was a documentary, except a futuristic documentary.
Right.
What a heartbreak, though.
It is. Well, Detroit famous for two things, Motown music and, of course, the big three US car makers. Mm. Well, it's kind of sad.
Yep.
It's tragic. But then again, Detroit, is this really that surprising? Because I've never known Detroit to be anything but kind of on the way down.
Yeah.
And it's not that surprising that it's actually hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll
Yep. Turn back upwards. Right. I hope you're right, Mike.
All you need is to get a bunch of hipsters in there and that place will rejuvenate itself.
Well, apparently that's
like
what's
that.
Happening. Apparently a lot of artistic hipsters are saying, well, where can I move that's grimy and gritty and cheap?
Yep.
Because we're hipsters.
With
and
beautiful
we
architecture.
Money.
Have you guys been to Detroit? You see how beautiful a lot of the architecture is.
I'd love to
because
go.
Because it was a boom town in the early
in the first
century.
Half of the 20th century. Yeah. That's right. And there's a lot of derelict downtown buildings, which in Melbourne we would just like die for.
Yeah. But you don't want to go there because, of course, they're overrun with undesirable types.
Oh, look, I'm not there all the time.
Yeah. And you can buy those buildings for about a dollar, can't you?
Yeah.
Exactly.
You can buy any house in America for about that at the moment.
That's true, yeah.
And now, really quickly, guys, I know it's super, super boring. It's super, super boring. But the news this week about the fringe benefits tax.
Hang on, we've just lost all our listener.
Oh, dear.
All our listener. Did you see
that? The switchboard has gone silent.
It's just that our one listener. Our one listener is tuned out.
Now, look, what have we got to say about this news that Kevin Rudd, you know, policy on the run, that's what Tony Abbott's saying.
Well, we'll keep it extremely important. Very the reason why it's important is many, many thousands of people will probably lose their jobs over this. The local car makers will probably get another massive blow from this because most of the cars they
not
sell
in a good way.
Are to businesses.
Oh, Daniel.
Well, maybe, who knows? Who knows? It's early days. Yeah. He's changed your tax structure. If you have a salary package car, you're now paying a ton more than you were before. It's kind of always been a dodgy system, but it also supported a lot of jobs.
Is it set in stone? Is it set in stone, though?
Well, it has to pass Parliament, and that would require Rudd to win the election, which, thanks to stupid policies like this, he probably won't.
Well,
so
that's the thing. And some other
could well be a moot
policies announced in the last couple of days.
Exactly.
But
human rights, we are all for human rights here at Fender Bender, aren't we?
It feels bad talking about tax when he just did the most monstrous policy on asylum seekers, which for me is kind of a more
pressing
important
thing.
Issue, but
we'll leave that for Saturday Magazine with Macca. He hosts that, and which is a fantastic, some would say a flagship current affairs program here on Joy 94.9. Hi, Macca, if you're listening. Now, let's move on from that boring stuff. Let's get exciting. Let's get a little bit horny.
Let's get physical.
Let's get physical in a Commodore VF. Dan, tell us what you've been doing this week.
Well, I was lucky enough. Yes, we all know about the new Commodore, the VF Commodore that's out now in various different variants, but they've been holding back on one final variant.
Would you say they've been holding back?
Hey, excellent. I wish I'd done that one. Which is, of course, the now flagship model, the Commodore SSV Redline.
Okay.
So this is now a special version that they've done the Redline before, but we've now got it on the VF. Mm-hmm. And it's a special edition which adds a few extra little bits and pieces and toys to make the car more suitable for enthusiastic driving and including on-track use. So that's exactly what I did. Is I got behind the wheel of it at Phillip Island, which is a fantastic circuit. Terrifying, but beautiful. and I had a good go behind the wheel. Now, the car is fantastic. I can talk ad nauseum about it. But what was more interesting for me was on the same day as the clouds loomed. I was very lucky to get out on circuit in the dry. But as the terrible weather, that thunderstorm that hit Melbourne the other night, I was on the circuit at that moment. Some of you may have heard about a Nürburgring record that was set recently in the aforementioned SSV Redline by a gentleman named Rob Tribbiani. Mm-hmm. And he now holds the commercial vehicle record for the Nürburgring. Now, he happened to be there. And when the heavens open, he did not stop driving around the track, and I thought this is a great opportunity to hop in the passenger seat, and I interviewed him as we did a lap of Phillip Island in horrendous conditions. This is what it sounded like.
It did sound something like that.
It sounded something like this, but it doesn't seem to be working right now, which is terrific, isn't it? Don't you love live radio, guys? Let's try it again. Say that again, Dan.
I can't remember what I said.
It sounded something like this.
In the Holden Commodore SSV Redline with no other than Rob Tribbiani, who has recently set, remind me what the record is,
an 8.19.47
at the Nürburgring, which is the fastest ever commercial vehicle.
That's correct.
That is quite something. How quickly can you do a lap of Phillip Island in the wet?
Oh, I don't know, but it's pretty treacherous out there. I've just done a lap and there's water running across the road.
You had a prediction of the time you could do prior and you actually went faster than that.
We were guessing 8.40, at best an 8.30. If we got an 8.30, we would have been absolutely over the moon. And yeah, as I said, the car went 8.19.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that was an awesome time.
Excellent. Let's try and get all the questioning in as long as it takes Rob Tribbiani to do one lap of Phillip Island in the pissing rain, which is what it is at the moment. conditions were a little bit better on the day from the Nürburgring.
Absolutely, yeah. It was actually a very warm day. It was 21 degrees. Yeah, it was a really nice day. The Red Line has undergone a heap of development over the last few years. Steering feels really, really good. We had the competitive mode, Cal in the steering system, and the weighting was really good. There's some really very fast and treacherous sections of the Nürburgring where you need accurate steering, and that, I think, helped a lot. And to be able to, you know, do the big climbs and the jumps and all that kind of stuff, you need really good damper control. We went over there and we put the production level suspension in it, and it worked really well straight out of the box. We didn't touch the car, it was a production standard car.
I should say, for the record, all these comments are being made while almost entirely sideways on every corner without so much as missing a word. I'm finding it harder to speak than Rob.
When you're at a racetrack like this, it's really fun that you watch the shift lights guide you towards the rev limiter and then flashes when it's time to change gear.
As well as making any normal driver feel like a good racing driver.
Exactly.
Like yourself.
Yeah, and that's the beauty with the competitive mode. It still rewards a very good driver, so it still allows you to drift the car around a racetrack, but the safety of the stability control is there if you need it. And it also helps the less skilled drivers.
And so what's next? You'll be still reveling in the glory of your record. Is it something that we can see Holden and maybe yourself going back to defend and perhaps break again at the Nürburgring?
You'll have to wait and see.
Ah, that was that. I can read into that what I will. Lightning and the rain has got worse. Yeah. Oh my God, I'm glad you're driving.
Yeah, this is treacherous condition.
Well, I've lost count. I think that was maybe two or three laps of Phillip Island in pissing rain. Rob Triviani, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Oh, listen to it, Dan.
What a professional.
Thank you, man.
There we are. It was absolutely terrifying, but also as much fun as it was scary.
You kept very composed because I happen to know firsthand that Tribbiani is an absolute demon behind the wheel. So to keep that, you know, composed is a very good effort.
He was not sparing the ponies either in that way. He managed to do two laps of Phillip Island in about the same time as it took me to do one in the dry. He was unbelievable.
What I love, though, there were parts of that where Dan was like, I'm talking like this now. And I think that's when your testicles went up into your throat, perhaps.
Yeah, and they still have not descended again.
There's a little lump there. But thank you for doing that. It sounded fantastic and we were all a little bit jealous. And I was going to say something else.
It's a tough job.
Yeah,
tough job.
It is a very tough job. This is Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Stick around. You are here with Tim, Mike, Dan and Byron. We are hopefully brightening up your dreary, not that your afternoon is dreary, but the weather is dreary.
It
I hope you're having a wonderful day. But it is a shocking day out there here in Melbourne if you're listening around the world. Hopefully it is better where you are. We've had a couple of people texting in.
Craig.
Please.
Craig.
Yes.
Blue. What do you reckon? Go for a blue Giulietta, mate.
What? What's the question?
Oh, I like him more in white, personally.
Oh, I actually say red. We've just listed the whole gamut of Giulietta colours.
I don't even know what the question was.
Craig has messages in saying he would be interested in buying a new Giulietta. Mm. Wants to know what colour. So I would say red. He would say blue. There's consensus for you.
But white's pretty good.
I was going to say I would go white.
No. So in other words, just
go with what you want.
Thanks. Welcome for all the help. He also tells us about his dad's yellow Datsun 200B with factory-fitted LPG.
Wow.
He called it the yellow slug marine.
Awesome.
Slug marine. Awesome. That's funny.
That's good. Hey.
Look, we've all got stories about favourite dattos. My nan had a Stanza that was powder blue. Oh. Interestingly, the same colour that they've released the pictures of that Go in, exactly the same colour.
No. That's right. Get your hands on Datsun Stanza.
Was that the song for that? Yep. Right. One day we're going to do a show and we're just going to have ads.
Ah, yes.
Or we're not allowed to.
Whatever. Italian for room.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
It's scraping half Italian.
Wow.
It is.
But which half?
This is Fender Bender. We have lots more to come, of course. But right now, Byron, of course, has very recently travelled beyond our own shores, possibly in a boat, to drive what is has been Australia's favourite car for the last 2 years.
That's exactly right. I've been driving the next generation Mazda 3.
Mm.
That's right.
I don't know why it requires that.
Yeah, right. The make or break car for the Mazda Motor Corporation, and a car that garners a huge amount of interest in this country, not just in terms of sales, but just generally when people are talking small cars, because people are trading down from, you know, larger and medium-sized cars and up, so from, you know, lighter ones. So, yes, I went to LA and drove a prototype. In fact, I drove a couple of prototypes of the car that Mazda fully expects to be the best-selling car next year.
In Australia?
That's right, because currently the Corolla holds that title. Mm. And let me say that I think it's as big a jump to this new model as the old original 3 was from the 323 about 10 years ago.
Ooh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's a big call.
Yep, that's because virtually nothing is carried over from the existing car except the SP20 Skyactiv model, but even then that's... The engine has been modified in its application. So we're talking about a car that's much lighter, significantly more aerodynamic. Mm. It's a bit racier. It's got a cab backward look with a bit less interior space, but a lot more exterior attitude.
Less interior space?
Yeah, right. Only a little bit, though.
Yep.
In some areas, it exceeds it, like in terms of shoulder space, but, you know, back seat's just a little bit tighter, but not so you'd notice.
Yes.
Yeah. Slightly smaller boot as well on some models, but... You know, it's a huge leap forward.
Right.
You know, one of the best cars out this year has been the Volkswagen Golf, the Mark 7, as I think all of us have driven. And I think Mazda has really taken it to the Germans in terms of the way the car drives.
Really?
And the way the car feels and the way the car sounds, i.e. it's much quieter than the current one.
And now, that was an issue, is that right?
That's right.
The current one, that had a bit of a problem with
a bit of road noise, yeah. But one of the big changes is that this is the first of the new Mazdas with a completely redesigned human-machine interior interface. So the dashboard, you know, I mean, it basically still looks like a dashboard, but, you know, Mazda has really tried to make the car less fatiguing and a more enjoyable place to be in. Mm. And you notice it straight away. It's a car that really, you know, kind of sets new benchmarks for...
There's a bit of Audi about its cabin, I reckon.
And a bit of Volvo V40 as well. Mm. I completely agree. Yeah, and the way it looks.
That's a good thing.
It's a small car with a heads-up display, and it's very high-tech as well. It's looking almost like a mini-luxury contender.
That's a huge compliment, because both Volvo and Audi have always been very good at doing interiors.
Yeah.
Making places... They're a good place to be. So, and Mini as well, I mean...
And look, if any car that wants to knock the Corolla off the perch, I support wholeheartedly.
Corolla's not that bad, but yeah. Well, it's certainly not... it's certainly a great car. But the best thing about the Mazda 3, guys, and people out there, the best thing about the Mazda 3 is that me and our colleague Nathan Ponchard drove the door handles off this car around up and down a twisty mountain, and it handles...
Really?
So well.
Fantastic.
It's got a lighter chassis, and it's got a more balanced chassis, and the steering is sharp. The agility is just kind of second to none. Really, it corners. It really lives up to that zoom zoom thing. So
will there be a next gen MPS hot one? You want to hope so, right?
Oh, well,
yeah, but if they do, then can they sort out the traction this time? Because the last one was dreadful, wasn't
it? It's like a dog on
line. Wasn't it all over the place?
Well, the rumour is, it might be four-wheel drive.
Well, that would be fine. That would be fine.
Because it's built on the CX-5, a shortened and lightened CX-5 platform, so the four-wheel drive capabilities are there.
Like a WRX rival.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Rally it. That'd be great.
So, to sum up, if you're in the market for a new car and, you know, you're wanting to buy in about 6 months' time, because the car will be released in February next year, costing slightly more than the current one does because it's got a whole bunch of new innovations and technology, but we're talking in the region of maybe $1,000 more, but it's 1,000 times better. So it's certainly one to keep on the shopping list.
And I like the look of the outgoing Mazda 3. This new one, I think, is absolutely fantastic, and it looks so, so good.
Mm. And the sedan, which we never got a chance to see in the metal because they didn't ship one to LA, is a looker as well.
Mm.
Yep.
Now it's a prototype that you drove. Mm-hmm. So how close to the final thing is that?
Oh, well, it's a prototype in that it's a pre-production prototype, meaning that the car that they're going to make is essentially 100% the same as the car we drove.
Okay.
Although we drove the American tune steering and suspension setup, and it looks like we're going to get a more European focused steering and suspension setup, which normally is good news. But in this situation, Mazda seems to dumb down the steering for European drivers because they don't want the car to be darty at 200 kilometres an hour on Autobahn. So the thing that I like most about this car, which was the steering, may not actually transpire for the this next generation car. But Mazda reckon, oh no, this car is going to be one, you know, best in class.
Yeah.
So we'll have to wait and see.
But don't car makers often, you know, importers, a lot of them kind of do some engineering in this country to better equip the vehicles for our roads. Are they doing that?
No, there was absolutely no Australian.
I think Hyundai do that, don't they?
And Kia. Well, okay. Kia were the ones that kind of have been blowing their trumpet as far as, you know, tuning cars.
Yeah.
But really, those the Korean tune suspension on Kias and Hyundais is atrocious, and they really have to work hard to bring it up to our tastes and our standards.
Yep.
So
there you go. So we're going to see this is more of a Golf competitor than, you know, a Cruise competitor.
Well, the thing is, it's going to be Golf competitor at Cruise pricing, or maybe slightly more, maybe somewhere in between.
Or at Golf pricing, because they're both quite cheap these days.
That's it.
Yeah. Except you're getting a 114 kilowatt 2 liter engine,
and it might not have the cloud of reliability issues hanging over it. Not to say anything, but there are things out there about Volkswagens that are being said. So.
And people are concerned. Whereas it's funny though, because, and I've said this before on the show, but Mazda in Japan, when I lived in Japan, they had a reputation for not being the most reliable vehicles. And there's a Japanese saying that I can't remember what it is in Japanese, but it's basically you buy a Mazda, you buy it for life, because the only person that's going to buy it back off you is the dealer.
Wow.
Which is really interesting, because I think any other country, I've never heard that said about Mazda apart from its home country.
Maybe that's a throwback to the old RX rotary reputations at the car.
Well, because they were terrible. I mean, the reliability of those engines was wear out the lobe tips. We wear out your lobe tips, you know about it. Oh, dear.
Oh, God,
tell me about
it.
I got a good cream for
it
that.
It hurts. We've got a text in from Lindsay, who has confirmed that they are male in...
well, look, it's not Lindsay Lohan. No. I'm incredibly disappointed.
She does
No,
listen.
Thank you, Lindsay. You've sent us a message saying you have an SP23, which is the performance version of the Mazda 3, and the only fault that he has is the driving noise. If they improved that, he says, it would be amazing. I agree. It's a fun machine, and that noise traditionally has been a bit of a Mazda issue, and as Byron says, the new one has got that fairly sorted, so...
Yeah, they've put more sound editing, more tailored kind of noise suppression measures to make it quieter. But the cars we drove were on US roads, on US all-weather tyres, and they tend to be a little bit more forgiving as far as road noise. So we just have to wait and see. But I can guarantee you that if you're driving an SP23... the 2014 BM Series Mazda 3 will be significantly quieter because those original BK models were quite loud.
There you go, guys. Well, you'll have to just wait and see next year and see what the Australian version looks like, and we will, of course, keep you up to date. Stick around. We've got lots more to come up. We are on Joy 94.9.
We are a great show.
We are. Well, I hope so.
Even if we don't say so ourselves.
It's true. It's true. We're pretty good. We're pretty terrific. it is Tim, Mike, Dan and Byron here on Fender Bender.
Hello.
Joy 94.9's very own motoring program. As I said, this is Fender Bender. We're talking about cars and we're going to talk about what Mike thinks is possibly... I don't know, not the most valuable. Not valuable, that's the wrong word. What's the relevant word?
It's a car I drove. I drove a car in Tasmania this week on a launch that I'm... Well, I don't know what it is. I don't really know what it's trying to be or trying to do. It's a very enjoyable car. It's very exciting and fun and interesting and certainly one that makes you look twice. But again, I don't know quite what it is. I'm probably not giving away too much. It's the Mini Paceman John Cooper Works.
Okay.
Very iconic name, John Cooper Works, the man who designed the first ever Mini Cooper. Which is one of the most famous cars of all time. The Mini Paceman is the seventh model in Mini's lineup. So Mini has done what its parent company BMW has done and kind of gone all crazy for niches. BMW's got all these strange little in-between models and Mini's done the same. There are seven individual Mini products now. This is based on that Countryman little tiny SUV thing, but it's got two doors, a bit like a Range Rover Evoque. This one
is tuned up, sunken down, and it's designed to be like a hot little hot hatch. But then it's got all the downsides of being a high-riding SUV. But then it's got none of the benefits of an SUV because it's been shrunken and lost two doors. So it kind of seems compromised on all angles.
And it looks like it was designed by Shrek.
It's an interesting experiment. Not to say that I dislike it, because I actually quite enjoyed it. It's a fun car. It does everything that a Mini generally does, but about with one-tenth less. So it's got very sharp steering, but it's one-tenth less sharp than the regular hatch. It's very little body roll, very sharp turn in, very good stiff chassis, but again, it's one-tenth off the rest of the lineup. And I sort of don't quite know where it fits. And then you've got the kicker, which is with options, it's up to $70,000.
What?
For a Mini. If you can get it for 58, but if you option it up, and believe me, you will want to option it up, because Minis don't come spectacularly well equipped.
This is a company owned by BMW, yeah, isn't
and,
it? Let's
and,
be honest.
And again, I was smiling while I was driving it, but the whole time I was thinking, if I wanted a Mini John Cooper Works, I'd just buy a regular hatch John Cooper Works.
The other kicker for me is that it's not even made in Britain, which, I mean, it's not Mini, they should be calling it Maxi, but it's made in Austria.
At a Magnus Steyr factory, which is a contractor.
Yeah. But hang on, do they build the other Minis, like the Mini hatch? Is that built
only the little hatches, like anything that's based on this Countryman platform, which is the Paceman and the Countryman, are not made. They're not even Mini. Why don't they just build that Rocket Man style sub B segment little car that they promised us
that
a couple
was
years
great.
Ago?
Well, this is the
elephant in the room about Mini, is that Mini no longer is a car that company that makes Mini cars, because the Paceman and John Cooper work.
They're big.
The Paceman and Countryman are they're not enormous, but they are sort of compact SUV type cars. They're not Minis, you know. And Mini has just gone to the point where it's just going to every niche that it can possibly think of.
Yeah. So how many do they think they're going to sell?
Well, they're not selling particularly well here. They're doing okay, and they're obviously selling as many as they want to globally, because they keep commissioning these new niches. And they say they're happy with the results, but then again, you hear they're going to go away from that.
I hear that they're going to scale down on the model proliferation. I mean, I think I recently did a road test with a Paceman, and I spent a lot of time thinking about why it exists. And I can see that, you know, the generation Ys and Is and Zs and whatever who were raised on SUVs, you can imagine that this is a small car for SUV people who only know SUVs. But really, it just...
But Australia does love a performance car, and as you say, Mike, this is the JCW, it's the hot version. So, if any of the Pacemen's going to do okay, it'll be this one, because Aussies love a hot version.
Well, look, the Countrymen and the Pacemen share one thing, which is they drive with a kind of sharpness that most SUVs wouldn't come near. If you're going to buy an SUV that you want to drive quite well and be quite nimble, you couldn't really do better, at least at the price point. They drive beautifully. But then again, they're one-tenth less aggressive and exciting than the regular Mini hatch. And if you're going to buy a Mini, just buy a Mini. I don't really... I sort of... As much as I kind of enjoyed it, at the same time I was thinking, it's not the Mini for me.
No.
But some people will love it unreservedly. And I think, I really want their wallets.
Yeah, totally. And look, you know, you're not going to have kids and buy this car. Or if you do, you're going to have it as some kind of second car. And as you say, you've got a lot of money and I'm just going to throw this around and buy some crazy little thing. And it's interesting with Mini, because their next Mini hatch is, I believe, scheduled to come out next year?
LA Motor Show World debut early...
Is it LA, is it?
LA Motor Show World debut in November this year.
Not at Frankfurt.
No, LA.
There you go.
Well, which is showing, you know, obviously they're going to be targeting bloody America so much. And you're seeing cars like the Fiat 500 go through the roof over there. So it's really interesting. But I did
not
see
literally.
Something...
That's not a special feature the Fiat 500 does. It's not like a rocket version.
Maybe they
should. Doesn't go through the roof.
No, but I think they've also ditched the Clubman in America, which...
They ditched the...
Club van.
Which is, funnily enough, it's one of the few Mini niches that I actually really like.
Really?
It's a little van that's a Mini. Come on, it's awesome.
So it's... To let our listeners know what that is exactly, it's a Clubman. You know, the one with the funny door on the wrong side of the car? It's
built the hearse, right, as I like to call it.
Yeah. With the windows blacked out.
And no seats
like
in the back, and it's a little van.
Anyway, after selling just 50 in the United States of America, they decided, I think we've got a bit of a turkey here.
So
they
pulled the plug.
Well,
it's funny, because getting back to the Fiat 500, I noticed on Matt's best-selling car blog, who we had on last week, that the Fiat 500 sells more in America than the Mazda 6.
Yes.
Can you believe it?
It's been a big hit. They're built in Mexico, I believe. They attract a very low recommended retail price there, so it's price driven,
as they do here now.
Having been with Fiat recently, I've got to say that they can't get there enough of their grabby little hands on the 500 because they're flying out the door.
In Australia?
In Australia.
Really?
That $14,000.
It's flying out the door. Can we stop making false statements about the Fiat 500? Oh, but it doesn't fly. It doesn't go through the roof.
No.
It's just, it drives. Right. But it drives very nice.
Yeah, when I reviewed one recently, I kept hitting the fly button and it wasn't getting airborne.
Just didn't work.
So,
this is so frustrating.
I know,
But the Fiat 500, look, I mean, you should take a long, hard look at the Fiat 500, I've got to say, because if they're going to make a retro smalls or retro city car, they can, you know, they can do a lot worse than emulating the concept of the Cinquecento.
I mean, the Mini is a great little car, but for my money, and I agree with Byron, it is too expensive.
Yep.
But then again, people like it and buy it.
Same to pay for it. And you know what? If you're one of those people, good luck to you. And as Mike said, give us your wallets. Okay, thank you. On that note, boys and boys in the studio and wonderful people listening, it is time to end another show. It's very sad.
But it goes so quickly this hour, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? Mm. And Byron, thank you very much for coming in. Hopefully we will see your wonderful face again very soon here in the studio.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
You are welcome. We like having you in the studio.
Out the studio.
Anywhere.
In the car park. You name it.
Hey, that's the Byron we love.
Exactly. Hey. Mike and Dan, thank you boys very much for another wonderful week. Now, stick around. Of course, we've got, I nearly said little Hannah. It's little.
She's quite small.
She's quite petite. Hannah, say it properly. Little Fish with the lovely Hannah is coming up very, very soon. So stick around for that. My name's Tim Nicholson, signing off for Fender Bender. Safe driving.
This has been a Fender Bender podcast for Joy 94.9, Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station. See joy.org.au for more details.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.